Matthew, the prophecy fulfilled, which fits really, really, really well with the text we look at today. Today is January 18th of the year of our good Lord 2015. We're going to talk about Christ the Messiah. We're going to deal with Matthew's Gospel chapter 21 and look at the verse 17 verses together. So here's your outline, Jesus the Messiah. Jesus gets to Jerusalem and Jesus cleans the temple are the two main points on your outline. And it's not one of those complex ones. You've got plenty of room to doodle on this one. On this day, Jesus will fulfill Old Testament prophecies all day long. This whole day has been scripted, choreographed, planned, prayed about, praised about, talked about for centuries. What happens in Jesus' life this day? Now, in many churches, they celebrate this event as Palm Sunday. And what they focus on are palm branches, which are the least important of all of what goes on in this day, but that's the way a lot of churches do it. Now, we're on the road to Jerusalem with Jesus for his last Passover. Jesus is a part of a large group of people. We're talking hundreds of thousands of people are migrating to Jerusalem for Passover. Dan was saying last week that 2 million people showing up for Passover is pretty much average. So this is a big crowd of people from coming from all over the world. I went there for New Year's, and I can tell you the airports are full, the roads are full, all the houses are full, all the hotels are full. It's a big deal, and people invite people to come live with them for this week. I mean, the houses are full, the markets are full. It's an amazing thing. People are making preparations for Passover. Can you remember what some of those are? Can you do a little review? This means cleaning out all the leaven in the house. Tomorrow starts the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And in the Bible, leaven, yeast, is what represents sin. For Passover, you have unleavened bread. When we do communion, we do unleavened bread. There's no yeast in it because yeast represents sin. Now, it's interesting on Pentecost, the bread that you celebrate with does have yeast in it because it's us involved in Pentecost, which is kind of really cool. The big thing you need to do today is to go to the temple and get a Passover lamb. They can bring one and try to get it approved, or the easiest thing to do is just buy one from the approved vendors. But you need to get your Passover lamb. You need to take it home. You need to bring it in the house. You need to keep it there and examine it. It lives with you. And then on the eve of Passover, at sunset, you sacrifice it and roast it. Now, they pick a lamb, they bring it home, and then they keep it in the house with them. For a week, they inspect it to see if it has any flaw or fault. And if you have kids playing with a year-old lamb, it's really fun. They're cute. They like to play. They suck on everything, and they nuzzle you, and they romp around. They're really fun. But at the end of that week, your pet becomes your evening meal. Jesus has been waiting for this for a long time. He's been waiting for this day a long time. So here's what it says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 1. As they all approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethany. It was on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent out 2 disciples. He said to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. As soon as you get there, you'll find a donkey tied up. Her colt is with her. Bring them, untie them, and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, say to them, the Lord needs it. The owner will send them right away." And in some of the other Gospels, they do actually have that conversation. This will take place so that what was spoken through the prophet would come true. It says to the city of Zion, "See, your king comes to you. He is gentle. He is riding on a donkey. He is riding on the donkey's colt." So they go get the mama and the little one, and Jesus actually rides on the little one. Matthew's Gospel records both of them walking through the streets. The other Gospels just say the little one. But anybody who knows animals know first time anybody rides on a little colt donkey, you want mama right close by so that there's no events. And Matthew 21:16, the disciples went and did what Jesus told them to do. They brought the donkey and the colt. They placed their coats on him. Jesus sat on the coats. A very large crowd spread their coats on the road. Others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Some of the people went ahead of him, and some followed. They all shouted, "Hosanna to the King of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." This is from Psalm 118:26. "Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered the city, the whole city was stirred up. People asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So, Jesus finally gets to Jerusalem. You may know that God gave a pattern for what the pilgrims were to do each year at this time. This, like many Jewish things, is scripted out, what happens and the order it happens in. Jesus is doing the will of the Father. He's following God's plan. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they wrote this thing back when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and wandering through the desert. They scripted all of this for them. One thing they will do is, as they walk up the hill to the temple, they'll sing the Psalms of Ascent. Now, Psalm 118 is a part of that. Some of you ladies did a Beth Moore series on these Psalms of Ascent. But there's a lot in there, and that's what they sing, and that's what they say as they go up the hill. So a number of these things that you see these people saying are texted, scripted. It's not spontaneous. This is what they've been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years, every day at every step. And there's certain steps on the road and steps to the temple where you do specific things. And they stop and he sings this and you sing that. Anyway, I was on the hill overlooking Jerusalem, the place where Jesus' story starts today. I was there 8 o'clock in the morning looking down over the valley, as close to my van to the Mount of Olives where he was. And then I went and walked the streets where Jesus was riding. They're the same stones. The Romans will destroy the buildings of Jerusalem, but they left the streets. The Romans have a definite love for the roads they build. And because they were relocating a lot of the good stuff from Jerusalem when they sack it in AD 70, they left all the streets. Now, they took away all the good roads, all the good marble, all the good big rocks. When I got to go to Rome and look at the Colosseum and see these great big stones, and they said, well, the guy built this in 8 years. I watched Gladiator the other night, and that is the best imagery of what the Colosseum was like. They built that in 8 years. And I asked the tour guide, I said, how could you do that? And they said, well, they went and conquered Israel, they brought back 4.6 million slaves, and every one of the slaves brought one of those big rocks back with them, and that's where they got the materials, and that's where they got the manpower to build that big Colosseum. It was all stuff that they recycled from Jerusalem. So they left the streets so they could wheel the rocks down the roads. And so I walked on the same streets, and they're not very big. If you had a full-size pickup with the extended mirrors for towing, yeah, you'd knock them off. They're not that big. They're not big streets. The buildings are right there. So, A on your outline, Jesus publicly is your first blank. Publicly presents himself as the Messiah, the King of the Jews. Now, in Zechariah 9 is a script for today's drama. They have been rehearsing it for hundreds of years. They've been waiting for this king ever since David died and Solomon died and his regime fell apart. They've been waiting for this king who would come and unite the 12 tribes again. So it's a big public thing. Now, Jesus' actions fulfill the prophet's words. Matthew is giving another testimony that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on donkey's colt, he shows his royalty as well as his humanity. Humility, excuse me. It's a humble way to enter. He's not on a chariot He's not on a big stallion. He's sitting side saddle on a little donkey. First time anybody ever rode it. Very humbling. This is the unmistakable sign of his kingship. This is how King David rode into Jerusalem when he conquered it and made it the head, the capital of the nation. And no one else has done it since. So it's a really big deal. Think with me about how many times we have read about Jesus doing great and wonderful things and read him say, don't tell anybody about this. Can you think of those times? He healed somebody. No, don't tell anybody about it. Go to the priest. Raise somebody from the dead. Don't tell anybody about this. Just keep this between you and me. Right? He's all 3 years of his ministry, he's tried to keep it on the down low. He's tried to not be this public figure. But today he finally is. This is the first and only time of his first coming he does this. When he comes soon, there's a lot of this High King stuff when he comes back soon. I mean, when he comes back next time, there is no humble, gentle, you know, riding on a donkey. This is the big horse, the big sword. This is the real deal when he comes pretty quick. Now, B on your outline. The public is your blank. Public celebrated Jesus as the son of David, their king. So they are declaring this biological genetic descendant of David to be their king. That had to be fun for Jesus and his followers. I mean, it just has to be fun when you're in the middle of something that big. Can you imagine what the 12 and Jesus, you know, his mom there, his sisters, his brothers, they're all finally seeing him. You know, last year at Passover, his brothers said, go, show yourself, make a big deal. He sneaks in the back door last Passover. Passover before that, the first one of his ministry, goes, clears the temples out. Wasn't very popular when he did that. But this public is celebrating him as their king. Matthew records for us Jesus' glory is being recognized on earth. Jesus boldly rode as a king of peace into the city of peace, and the crowd gladly joined him. Now, the downside of all of this for Jesus is he knew where to get his ride. He knew where that donkey was going to be. He knew these same people will turn into the mob that calls for his death in just days. In just days, these people who are calling him king will cry out, crucify him. Same lot. On the high day of Passover, they will change their tune a lot. And Jesus knows that. He knows what's coming down. He knows where to get a donkey and a colt. He knows this is going to happen. Got to be a really mixed emotion inside of him. These events would speak to us about our relationship with Jesus. Should we guard against superficial acclaim for Christ? It's easy for many people who say they are Christians on Sunday to say one thing and on Monday something else. It'd be easy to talk to someone at work about Jesus as your Savior and the next time use his name wrongly when things go bad. And you know that's totally capable for all of us to do, just like those people. And we need to guard our hearts and lives, keep our heads on straight, and think about what it is we're doing and saying in relationship to Jesus. In Matthew 21:12, it says, Jesus entered the temple area. He began chasing out all those who were buying and selling there. He turned over the tables of those who were exchanging money. He also turned over the benches of those who were selling doves. He said to them, it is written, the Lord said, my house will be called a house where people can pray. That's in Isaiah 56:7. But you are making it into a den of robbers, Jeremiah 7:11. Blind people and those who were disabled came to Jesus in the temple, and he healed them. The chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did. They also saw the children in the temple shouting Hosanna to the king of to the son of David. But when they saw all this, they became angry. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, he replied. Haven't you ever read about in the scripture? It says you have made sure the children and the infants praise you. That's Psalm 8:2. Then Jesus left the people and went out of the city to Bethany. He spent the night there. So, when we look about Jesus cleaning the temple, this is the second time he's done this. The first time he went there, first year of his ministry, last year he came in the back door and healed a guy at the pool, shows up in the middle of the week at Passover. But this time he comes in and he's cleaning the temple out. A, on your outline, Jesus is cleaning sin. He's cleaning the leaven from his house. It's time to clean the leaven out of your home. So Jesus goes to his father's house and starts cleaning it, throwing stuff out, telling people to get the junk out of there. This is not supposed to be here. Passover had become a big profitable business for the priests and their family. This was really big business. When you think about hundreds of thousands of people coming to you as the only retail marketer for the commodity need. It's big business. Real big business. Every family had to have a Passover lamb. These lambs had to be approved by the priest's family. The only money one could use was temple money. So people had to exchange whatever money they had for temple currency. You can still do that at the temple. You can trade American money or euros for temple money. I brought a little bit of it back. Can you see how this closed market system could cause or lead to problems? When there's only one vendor and has absolute control, there's no competition, oh, that can cause problems. Do you think Jesus would have had a problem with these transactions actions if they had been done off the temple site? I thought about that and I said, I don't think so. I think if they would have set up shop outside, had a, you know, place for the lambs, had a place for the money changers, they did their business that needed to be done, but not in the temple. Jesus never, ever got after people who did free market systems. He never. He always let people do their business. Now, so if they would have been doing it someplace else, it wouldn't have been a problem. It was just that they were using the free building. Do you think these business people took it personal when their stuff was all messed up and mixed with other people's stuff? You think they took? Would you take it personal if you were the owner of the business and this guy threw all of your money in with all of their money and you got to sort out whose money's money and it's all just money? Oh, yeah, that upset you. Now, what could all of this personal house cleaning mean for you and I, for us? Did Jesus intend us to take it personal? Or is it just an abstract story we read? The lives of others are examples for us, but God requires us to examine our souls, our temples. The temple of the Holy Spirit is our body. Have we learned how to look inwardly at ourselves with courage? Have we learned how to do that? It would be a really good thing to be doing that coming up to Passover in April 3rd. I think God desires us to be conformed to his image by surrendering to his purpose. I also think he will not force himself on any man or woman. He's not going to make you do it. But he would love to do it with you in a very intimate fashion. He would like to do it with you, but he won't force you to do it for him. You gotta offer yourself to him. Therefore, we need to allow him to show us the deep hidden places in our character. Would you be willing to go there with God? Would you be willing to open up and clean your temple? I don't think we see or recognize the things that we're doing wrong. I really don't think we do recognize a lot of them. I think many of the men who worked in the temple that day didn't think anything was wrong with what they were doing. This is what our fathers have been doing. We've been providing this service to pilgrims for hundreds of years. I'm just going to work. I'm just going to work as a money changer or a lamb vendor. They didn't think it was sin. They'd been doing it so long, it just become habit, common. See, that's, I think, what happens to our lives. We do it for a while, and then we don't really notice it or think about it. We just get up every day and go make the donuts, you know, go exchange the money, go sell the lambs, go fiddle with the doves, you know. We don't really think about what's going on in our lives very often. Jesus will reveal to us everything we have held within ourselves if we'll open to his grace to begin the work. If you invite him in and ask you to help him with the spring cleaning, the leaven cleaning, he will. And he'll come by grace and do that. Our problem is not that much different from the priests of Jesus' day. We think and understand, we know what we're doing with our lives. Hey, we've been doing this Christian thing for a while. We got it figured out. We know the patterns. We know what to do. We know what to say. We know not what to say. And, you know, the dust settles. You need a spring cleaning. We have a pride problem. I think that's the biggest problem we have is spiritual pride. We do the same things this year without doing a good... Let's start over. Spiritual pride. Do we do the same things this year without doing a good cleaning of the leaven from our lives? That was my thought. Are you just going to do the same stuff the same way this year without doing a good spring cleaning? That's where we got spring cleaning, was at Passover. B on your outline, Jesus is presenting himself as a Passover lamb. Presenting is your blank. He is the offering for sin. I got to this slide and I looked at it for a couple days trying to figure out what to do from here. He's presenting himself as a Passover lamb. Jesus is doing the will of the Father. He's following God's plan. This day in Jesus' life is a big deal as far as dealing with the sin of mankind. Later this week, he'll surrender to death on behalf of mankind. Jesus is coming into the temple today to present himself for inspection. He's coming at the time you're supposed to pick a lamb, and he's presenting himself as a lamb. He will publicly heal those who are in need. After he presents himself, then he'll spend the next week going to the temple every day. We'll look at that as we continue through Matthew 21. And he will show up there early every morning, stay till sunset every day, and present himself as the flawless, sin-free, perfect lamb. The authorities will not approve of what he's done with their business, and is now he's receiving the praise they've been waiting for all year. These guys wait for Passover when everybody's going to come and praise them. And now Jesus is getting all the glory, and he made a mess of their business. They're miffed. The common people, on the other hand, are having a great time, dancing in the streets, singing their way to the temple. And now the children are finishing the songs of praise. So here's my conclusion. So where would you put yourself? Grumbling with the church people, or praising with the other people, or thirdly, presenting yourself as a living sacrifice with Jesus? That's my conclusion. When you look at this, you can be a grumpy church person because it's not going the way you think it should, or messing up your idea of how it should be. You could be one of the common people that are just having a ball. Or you could unite yourself with Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. I think those are the choices for you and I today. And I put the last one last because I think it's the best one, although I find myself being one of the grumpies more often than the last thing. And I want to change that. And I want to lead you that way. And I want you to follow me in being willing to sacrifice with Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as a loving Father, and we thank you for designing and orchestrating this day as Jesus fulfills every single solitary prophecy perfectly. Doesn't miss a jot, doesn't miss a tittle, doesn't miss a beat. He gets it all right. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to enjoy and suffer this. As we look at your life, we come to you seeking you, hoping that you will embrace us in a way to lead us to cleaning out our personal temples and becoming increasingly more like you this year and defining our existence by our faith in you more than some of the other things we use to define our identity now. And we ask you to lead us down that path, finish what you started in Jesus' name. Amen.